now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fess and Tanya.
Hello, welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon. This is episode 2. I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
We got a great show going for you once again this week. It is basically on webcomics that are badly drawn but do well in their own right. This is actually not really the real title of the show. It's just that it's the best thing I could think of as far as how to describe it, because there's a lot of webcomic art out there that is not really intentionally drawn bad, and it's more of a simplistic stylized sort of production. And
right.
So it's like bad on purpose, so to speak. But still, we're going to approach that, and we actually have a listener call-in today. So we'll play that.
Listener tune-in. Hello, my name is Renee. My webcomic is www.hiddendisguises.com. My comment on the topic for this week is mainly that a badly drawn webcomic really has to have phenomenal writing and phenomenal dialogue in order to overcome the fact that it's badly drawn. Webcomics are by nature a very visual medium, and for an audience to get over that, there really has to be writing and plot and dialogue that pulls them in. And really, I see a lot of comics that attempt to do this, and not all of them make it quite the same way, but some do. And that's really my comment. Thank you. Would you like to get involved with The Beacon? Just send a 15 to 30 second audio file to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
All right, and Renee had a really good point. She, you know, basically saying that if you can't draw, make sure you can write. Tanya,
right.
what do you say about that?
For the most part, I absolutely agree. If you're going to have a webcomic that is not visually pleasant, it at least have usually a funny sort of maybe introspective or gag-a-day kind of feel to it, but good writing. You can't expect to pull a serious plot line mm-hmm. with bad art, but you do need to have good humor writing to pull off a badly drawn strip.
Very exactly my thoughts. a good example, I would have to say, of a comic like that would be Dinosaur Comics. Now, don't get me wrong. obviously, it's a very stellar comic as far as its following and its critical acclaim. But I would have to say, even though it has really good looking sprites, I would have to say this is pretty bad art because it's, you know, nothing changes. It's the same each time. So therefore, obviously, Ryan is not trying to draw something new. So whether or not he's a good artist or not, I don't know because I haven't seen it.
And never will.
And apparently never will. But this is a good example of where writing can really make the comic survive, and because that's what people mostly attach to. The other thing is that this is obviously not going to work for everybody. I have seen several webcomics that try to do I have the same art each time but different words, and it just really doesn't work because it's not really well written at all.
Yeah. You have to be a tremendously creative writer to come up with new content for the same pictures week after week after week.
Right.
Most people don't have that kind of creativity.
I think it also helps when you have sort of, well, they're not ambiguous characters, they're dinosaurs in this. So it's not like someone made their own characters. And you have to try to identify with them through each day of the writing. It's like you start off with dinosaurs, so it's kind of like a gimmick for people to get, oh, cool, they're dinosaurs. They're talking about, and it's like philosophy and all this stuff. So that's kind of a start to go. When people do it, they try to make their own characters, and I think that's part of their flaw. And almost really anything else would be like you're imitating this comic. So originality is also something hard to pull off for something that's either like badly drawn or has some sort of gimmick that really works for them. You really can't imitate it a whole lot.
No. People try. They give it a shot, but I agree. They usually fail, and fail badly. And when they fail to get thousands and thousands of immediate readers, they quit.
Right. And I think you were talking to me earlier about different types of webcomics that fit today's subject. Would you like mm-hmm. to go over them?
Oh, absolutely. I think first and foremost, you have to mention XKCD, which frequently has a higher Alexa traffic ranking than even Penny Arcade. They're all stick figures. They're not even straight stick figures. He makes no excuses for the fact that there is no artwork to speak of, but the writing is highly intelligent. It's often mathematical and even goes into quantum physics, philosophy, and it's the intelligence in the writing, the creativity in the writing, and the honesty that pulls it. It's a wonderful read. A lot of times it's a single panel, 2-3 panels, so they're not, you know, it's not a big setup for the punchline, but it's a tremendously popular comic. It's one of the comics I check every day.
Yeah, I've also had a number of people make some reference to this comic as well for its hidden genius, so to speak.
Yeah.
Another one I think I'll mention, I'll go ahead and throw one in here, White Ninja. White Ninja Comics actually is like
yeah.
one of the really worst drawn webcomics that are out there, but still, you mm-hmm. know, drawn enough to where it's not stick figures, but...
Right.
It's one-off jokes, gag-a-day type of style, and that usually goes along the ridiculousness of the, you know, kind of like the Adult Swim crowd, where you just need something ridiculous to satisfy yourself, and that
right.
Some people may take offense to say the Adult Swim crowd, but you know that's basically what they are, these kind of like one-off gags that work, even though there's a little bit more pop culture reference as well.
Right. No, I think that goes along with like Cyanide and Happiness, Toothpaste for Dinner, though they're actually more poorly drawn than White Ninja. It's the same thing. You know, it's sort of wacky humor, offhand violence, and, you know, fart jokes, to be honest. But they're entertaining for what they are. They're bite-sized. It's not something that, you know, you're going to spend more than 3 seconds at the site. But... you know, they're entertaining for what they are. And now, more along the lines of the artwork you see in White Ninja, I'd mention Order of the Stick, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's shapes on, you know, it's a round head in a box and stick figures for the arms and the legs. But it's one of the few very simplistically drawn comics that can pull an extensive storyline.
Right.
And, you know, it's in its 511th strip went up today.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got 4 books and a game, and, you know, they're here,
mean,
for the
yeah,
long
it's,
haul.
Yeah, it's not necessarily badly drawn. It may have started out like that, but mm-hmm. it's, like you said, it's like a stylized, and, you know, it's clean, it's crisp, and
mm-hmm.
People have just come to, you know, follow the stories, enjoy it.
Right.
I guess kind of like looking at this this strip, it reminds me of 8-Bit Theater.
Yeah.
Well, they really don't do a whole lot of drawing themselves. There might be some here and there, but most of it is pixel art and modified pixel art. And there certainly is some popularity with 8-Bit Theater.
Oh yeah.
But of course, that I think also comes down to, you know, it's. I don't want to say, well, it's like low or bad graphics, along with a really worthwhile story and characters that people really love and get attached to.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, like creating characters that, you know, people can identify with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you care about the characters, you care about the comic, regardless of how it looks. Assuming, again, that, you know, the writing is really strong enough to make you love those characters.
Yeah, and I say and a lot, and I know everyone's pointed it out to me, and I'm going to try to stop saying it, but...
you should practice. Talk about pickles for nothing
pickles.
But 5 minutes.
Peanut butter. We got a few segments that we want to do. Actually, we have Brett Hanley with another casual rambling. And,
wonderful.
We also have a little spiel from Evil Couch of World's Worst Webcomic. I don't think I have to say much about the webcomic, as its name should pretty much speak for itself.
I'm Evil Couch. I'm a Japanese-American supervillain, and I draw the world's worst webcomic. I started it a bit over a year ago, when Santa makes his rounds on Xmas Day, I have a special present for him, in the form of a candy cane bludgeoning, and a special present for you, in the form of endless doom and torment. Also, the 300th comic strip. When I first began gracing the internet with my glorious scribblings, it was simply because the world did not know, did not understand the depth to which a webcomic could sink. I provided this dark knowledge for the mere price of scorched retinas and mangled corneas. A comic with no limitations, with no barriers. Talent. Continuity. Properly set up punchlines. None of this is essential to the world's worst webcomic. And yet, something strange began to happen once it was foisted upon you people. You read it. 5 times a week, I showed you something new, and you gazed upon it. Not just a few of you, but an average of 100 a day. Hundreds of you have bookmarked the site. You felt the amazing power that rampant disregard for the fundamentals of art can create. Perspective? Vanishing points? Straight lines? The hell with it all. I only have to please one person in this world. Great Cthulhu. Finneguli Miglim Vudnaf Cthulhu Relay of Waganag of Tagen. Aya Cthulhu! Aya Cthulhu! Slightly more seriously, I'm doing it because I want to. Because there are tiny jokes that I find funny, just long enough to draw them. Which, by the way, takes about 10 minutes, including the time it takes me to load GIMP, clear off whatever random papers I have lying on my Wacom tablet, and figure out where the hell I put my stylus. I don't have any higher messages here. The purpose of this is to entertain and amuse me. If someone else gets a kick out of it, fantastic. If not, I don't care. Last month I took a break from writing and drawing bad comics to write bad pulp fiction during the National Novel Writing Month. I didn't do nearly as well as I would have liked to. However, the webcomic community surprised the crap out of me by turning out enough guest art for me that I could update 3 days a week for the entire month. I'd like to thank all the artists that lifted their pen to help me out. For those of you that are wondering how the hell you can get that kind of support when it comes to guest strips, let people know, right up front, you don't care what they give you. Caring attaches self-consciousness. Self-consciousness is the mortal enemy of artistic inspiration. Anytime someone has to give any pause whatsoever to their art, it dies a little. When you're drawing guest art, you already don't care. It's not yours. You have no emotional attachment to it whatsoever. It's rolling a d4 for hit points. Hit a snag and that guest strip is dead on the floor. Remove that barrier, no one cares. No one cares. They draw for you. Sure, being helpful and amusing to people helps. Being a nice guy is great. But I would say without a doubt that low standards are the number one reason why I've seen as much guest art and fan art as I have, which is over 50 total strips in just over a year. So that's it. That's basically all there is to say about the world's worst webcomic. Or at least as much as you're gonna get out of me. This has been Evil Couch from World's Worst Webcomic, polluting Webcomic Beacon.
Yes. I really don't know what else to add to that.
That was pretty conclusive.
Yeah, you can't really... Well, you can find the World's Worst Webcomic at worldsworstwebcomic.com. Moving on to our weekly segment, I think Brett Hanley may think a little differently.
Brett Hanley with Casual Ramblings.
Bess and Tanya are spending this week telling everybody how there are comics out there that have bad art and good writing, and that they've been wildly successful. Makes you feel warm all the way to your toes, doesn't it? Well, it shouldn't, because it's a lie. Badly Drawn Kitties isn't drawn badly. It's a primitive style, but it's not bad art. World's Worst Webcomic and White Ninja are both drawn badly on purpose. It's a form of stylistic deconstructionism, and it's beginning to wear thin for both of them. The truth is, there are no successful comics out there with truly bad art. People like to look at pretty pictures, and they'll tolerate a comic written by a lobotomized parrot for a lot longer than they will one that's drawn by drunken beavers. Trust me, I know. My off-and-on hiatus this year has been all about my art and its failings. But here's the good news. Telling yourself I can't draw? That's a lie, too. Anyone can draw. At least anyone can learn enough about the rules of drawing to pull off a comic. It may take Kiss from God talent to make you the next Jim Lee or Phil Foglio, but it takes very little to at least rip something off on a page that manages not to make people lose their lunch. So here's what you're going to do. On your way home from work, you're going to drop by the used bookstore and get yourself one of those paperback art books written for 10-year-olds. You know the ones. The ones the gypsy art teacher in grade school handed out and always took up after class. Only this time you're actually going to read it and you're going to pay attention to the instructive diagrams. And then you're going to practice. A lot. Good writing comes from thousands of words on a page. Do you think artists wake up one morning and magically draw effortless Mayan cityscapes? Read, practice, learn. Maybe even take a class in basic art and art appreciation if you can afford it. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to your readers. Because let's face it, you don't have to suck.
Brett makes a very good point. Anyone can draw, or at least well enough to do your own webcomic.
Oh, absolutely.
And one thing he mentioned, yes, he mentioned Badly Drawn Kitties because we were going to have Matt Scherer on the show for an interview this week, but a last-minute schedule conflict prevented him from doing so. So hopefully we'll have him for an interview next week. Mm-hmm. But Badly Drawn Kitties is another example of a, you know, basically badly drawn webcomic that actually does very well on its own. And again, as Brett said, it's more of like a style, even though maybe Matt might say differently.
You know, look at any Peanuts comic. It's not difficult. You can do comics with very simple outlines. As long as people understand what's going on, then, you know, and the writing's good, it's passable, and it's a worthwhile endeavor.
Yeah, well, I don't think Schultz ever stopped to take out a crayon and draw a car just because he knew he really couldn't draw a car like Matt Scherer, but...
Probably not.
Well, we are going to take a little bit of a break here, and when we come back, we have a couple of webcomic reviews, some webcomic impressions, and a last-minute interview with Jason Dunstan. If you have an idea for a segment for the Webcomic Beacon, send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. If you have some of your very own music that you think would go well with the show, also send us an email. We really do want to hear your feedback on this week's topic, next week's topic, or how well we're doing, so please leave a comment on our site or send us a message or audio file to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net, free hosting for free thinkers.
Unfortunately, Matt Scherer had a last-minute schedule change and is not able to be with us here tonight, but we will have an interview with him next week for sure. Right now, we have Jason Dunstan, the writer of the webcomic Ardra, who will be filling in for this week.
Introducing Jason Dunstan.
Yes, we are here with Jason Dunstan, the creator and writer of the webcomic Ardra, as of which I am also the current artist for. Hello, Jason. How's it going?
Okay, great.
So, back when you started Ardra, this was in 2005?
Yeah, really late 2005, December.
And when you started it, what was your reason for starting this webcomic?
Well, working in retail as long as I have, you notice a lot of stupid people breed. And so I thought what we could do if a very smart person decided to have kids. My roommate and I had this idea of what would happen if a really smart woman decided to have kids as some kind of science experiment, and it just kind of went from there.
And when you first started, you were actually drawing the comic yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not very pretty looking, is it?
Not some of it. I didn't know how to scan or anything back then. I was just kind of really flying by the seat of my pants at the time.
All right. And how long did it... And later on, you got Trevor Adams was the artist for about 19 strips, and he had also had done artwork for a couple of other comics, including Least I Could Do. How did you manage to snag him?
I from what he told me, he just had read the comic, really liked it. He was kind of looking for some work, from what I'd heard. Right. So it just kind of came together from there.
So he essentially approached you?
Well, I had sent I posted on a few forums. I was looking for an artist. Apparently, he saw one of those posts and sent me an email.
Okay, so he liked the idea of the comic and thought this is something I'd want to work with.
Yeah.
What were your what kind of like hit counts were you getting before Trevor and then after Trevor?
Oh, before him, I was getting maybe between like 50 to 100 a day, and after him, it was getting up to more like 120, 200 somewhere in there.
Okay, so. So what would you think would be why people latched onto this, why people continued to read this badly drawn comic?
Well, it was a different concept. It's not really something you see out there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of the gamer comics or RPG things or anything like that, fantasy that you see a lot of. It's really nobody else is doing this, for better or worse. I think a lot of people appreciated that.
Right. I know when, like, later on, after Trevor had disappeared for, what, like 6 months or something like that, you were also posting, looking for another artist on the webcomic list, which I obviously responded to.
Yeah.
And I can tell you for why I picked it, because I was looking for something else to do, and I was thinking that this is an interesting concept. I really like the characters, and over the years, I've really become attached with the whole concept and the characters, because that's it's like with talking to you, because you have all like these stuff that I can't make a comic fast enough for, so I really get to it's not the most excellently written stuff, of course, but it is still well written enough that you can actually identify with the characters, and that is of course why I enjoy the comic, and this is kind of like the point of the show today is, you know, poorly drawn webcomics that do well in their own right, as well as, you know, people who draw simplicity and such, and it still creates a niche market for these people, and especially with Ardra, because it's like, well, tell me some about some of the people that actually enjoy Ardra right now.
Mostly it seems like it's other webcomic people. I don't really get too many emails from just regular fans. I've gotten a couple. Seems like a lot of them are in England and Australia. For whatever reason, I don't know why it seems to really go over there. It's something about the humor, I suppose.
Well, like I said, it's obviously something's being done right. I mean, it's not a phenomenally visited website, but it does do well on its own right, and a lot of people can connect with the characters and the comic. So that's kind of the theory that we're running with tonight.
Yeah.
So, Jason, thanks for being with me. Check out ardracomic.com for the webcomic Ardra.
Thanks for having me along. I'm glad to help you out.
Okay, now let me just clarify. I am not a stellar artist. I know it may be hard to believe, but, you know, obviously I'm not saying it's now phenomenal now that he has a different artist. It's drawn better than it was, but it's still not phenomenal. And as we said before, you can still make a good webcomic which people will follow and visit.
Absolutely.
And so thanks again for Jason Dunstan for being able to make a brief interview in place of Matt Scherer, which we hope to have him next week. Now it's time for a new segment, which we mentioned of last week, where we glaze over webcomics that are still in their infancy.
Let's hear some webcomic impressions.
To start with No Experience Necessary. The newest offering by the creator of 67th Avenue began a scant 4 issues ago, so it's very new. The comic takes place in a yogurt-dipped banana shop, aptly named Yo Nana, and chronicles the 9-to-5 exploits of its minimum wage workers. The style's a bit different than 67th Avenue and seems to support the characters well. It's still far too early to determine how well the concept will hold up, but I have every reason to believe it won't fizzle out based on the longevity of his previous work. Also off to a promising start is Wayward Robot from creator John Briggs. Consisting mostly of single-panel strips, the humor seems to be half introspection and half pop culture. It's done in sketchy black and white. I like the way the strip feels so far, and I'll certainly keep checking back.
Complementing today's topic quite well, with its simple characters and basic line art, is Flapjack and Toasty, starring a pancake and a piece of toast. This newspaper-formatted gag strip updates several times a week. It sits well in the zany fun category with Cyanide and Happiness, though without the crass violence. The creator states he intends to keep running through 100 strips. Last but not least is a new comic available at girlomatic.com, which is The Road to God Knows. It's a beautifully done black and white full-size comic, tells the story of a 13-year-old girl struggling to lead a normal life while taking care of her schizophrenic mother. It does not currently require a subscription to read from the beginning, so now's a good time to hop on board.
Well, thank you for those webcomic impressions, Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep this ball rolling.
And now, webcomic reviews.
One thing that may come to mind when thinking about badly drawn webcomics would be stick figure comics. True, many amateurs try webcomics with stick figures, hoping to pull off some sort of wildly clever and amazingly popular comic with very little effort. I'm not sure if this was Nanda's goal or not, but for me, the webcomic Ugly Girl is the best stick figure comic out there. Though, if you go and check the comic out now, the characters may not seem like stick figures, but they are. In the beginning, it was much more apparent, albeit thick stick figures, but there really wasn't any clothing scheme unless you considered all of them wearing tight black leotards. But if everyone is a stick figure, how do you tell them apart? The creativity and character distinction lies within the facial features and the hair. Each person's eyes are static. They never change. They are a combination of shapes that reflect the character's overall personality to give a general overall emotion. The same thing goes for the hair. It basically remains the same for each character. Some may not think of this as anything special, but it is the perfect way to create a character individuality for stick figures. It's constant and familiar and is always ready to greet you. Even without knowing the characters themselves, their image easily conveys much of what that person is about and who they are. Another aspect for each character is their name. Names like Ugly Girl, Queer Boy, Spaz, and Fatty. You may think of these as societal labels that kids give each other in grade school or high school. Well, you'd be right. Only, instead of saying these names behind their backs, they are their names. This goes along with easily identifying and identifying with this comic's characters. Over the years, the comic has gotten much more stylized and refined in its stick figure drawing, to the point where it may not even come off as stick figures at all. I have not seen any other comic come close to the simple genius of this visual creativity. But enough of the visuals. What about the content? Well, basically, I'm not a real big fan of drama. And Ugly Girl is essentially a middle school or high school drama. This person likes this person, but a different person likes them instead. Someone may have to deal with coming out, or this girl likes this guy, but this guy is oblivious. You know, drama. That being said, it does not take itself too seriously and manages to deliver laughs and chuckles now and then. So, for the sort of comedy drama that it is, I really enjoy this comic. In fact, you should be able to tell if this is something you'd like within reading the first about 20 strips when starting in the archives. This is one of my favorite weekly webcomics, and you can find Ugly Girl at nanda.comicgenesis.com. But that's not all. I got one more review for you. Not really of the poorly drawn variety, but more of the simple copy-paste image variety. Kawaii Knot is a webcomic that constantly is set in a small vertical strip with four panels, typically of one object with a face and a one-liner joke on itself. The art is simple, clean, and has a commercial artistic feel to it. It looks very professional from some standpoints. For first-timers, it certainly has a visual attraction to itself, and I believe it to be one of the most unique styles on the web as far as webcomics that I've seen. The strips all essentially follow the same formula. Set up the object with a face and with an identifiable, simple emotion. Then allow the object to make an observation or greeting. Next, elaborate just a little bit more about before the punchline, and it's usually pertaining to of itself or what other people think of itself. Finally, deliver the end to complete the punchline. Typically, the art stays the same or is slightly modified from beginning to end, but it does not stretch much beyond changing of the facial expressions. In many cases, the object is a sort of a food. Many times, the joke revolves around how it smells, tastes, or how people generally feel about it. Seeing a bite taken out by the end would be no surprise. It's a fairly cute and funny model, but it gets old really fast. Once in a while, there'll be something which one person can relate to a lot better than another, and therefore find it much more amusing. But I find that these one-liners are usually stretched too thin, even for a small vertical four-panel strip. The novelty wears off, and instead of a chuckle, I'm left with rolling my eyes at how lame at the attempt of humor it is. This is probably something more for the preteen girl crowd than for someone like myself. However, I do see how the whole concept is highly marketable. The art and humor seem to be something that you could find on t-shirts or other merchandise at a Target store, Urban Outfitters, or some other trendy store pretending to be clever. But instead, you can buy their one-liners from their own online store. Mini buttons tend to sell the best, so apparently there's a big market for it. But I'm just not buying it. It's a novel idea, but the novelty has been worn out. However, if you've never heard of it, you could probably check out kawaiiknot.com and enjoy maybe 10 strips before tiring of it. Who knows? Maybe this site is just the thing for you. Before we wrap things up, I want to do a couple of thank yous to a couple of podcasts that were nice enough to mention us. GigCast, show 119, was nice enough to mention us, and they're at gigcast.nightgig.com. So check them out. It's another webcomic podcast. It's obviously been around much longer than us.
Yes.
And Infendo Radio, a Nintendo-centric podcast, also mentioned us. I actually have a 60-second segment on that show, so... it was great for them to mention us, and they're at infendo.com. And what else do we have for us? We have some anniversaries for us. Tanya, would you like to?
We do have a couple.
Would you like to go ahead and do the honors?
Yeah, sure. First off the bat is Anywhere But Here, which celebrates its third year this month, and it can be found at moderntales.com. Next, we have The Best of What's Left, which is celebrating its second year, found at tbowlcomic.com.
And, of course, as if you heard it, when Evil Couch was doing his little spiel, he mentioned that his 300th comic is coming up as well. Again, if you have an anniversary or you hit a 100th or so comic, let us know, and we'll try to plug you on the air.
Absolutely.
And, of course, we can't say it enough, but if you want to get involved with the Beacon, you are certainly welcome to call in by sending a 15 to 30 second audio file to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Be it something about this week's show or the topic that's going to be on next week's show, which is Tanya and I are going to be talking about website design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we feel that is something that should be approached for, and we will be calling out a few instigators.
A few mistakes.
Yes. Well, that's episode 2 for the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess.
And I'm Tanya.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.